I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. There's only two lines open so far, so you guys are getting on early this morning, which is great. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are also on the Facebook Live over at WTIC's Facebook page. If you want to check out our mugs, feel free to get online there. But so you guys, you know, when we were last with you, it was last Saturday, and all was right with the computer world. Nothing was wrong. We resealed the hermetically sealed studios here at Tab Computer Systems in East Hartford and left for the day thinking everything was great. And then Sunday morning, SolarWinds comes out and pretty much is the subject of a massive hack where we hear the Treasury Department and all sorts of agencies have been impacted by some outside force, probably the Russians, of course. They all are going to deny it. But all we start hearing is about all these hacks that are going on. And by Wednesday or Thursday, we pretty much understand that this company, SolarWinds, which is a company that other companies use, they use their tools. In this case, Orion was part of their tool belt there. It's a technology that they offer to help manage their computers and networks. Now, that's fine. A lot of companies that are called managed services companies use tools like this to manage the network. Because it's a network is a monstrosity that has to be quote unquote managed, and they put tools on to help them do it, and then they charge you an arm and a leg, even though the tool's doing the work. But we'll go, we'll digress on that later. So SolarWinds' tools is what was used to hack into these companies, where they actually had the bad guy inject code backdoors into the SolarWinds update that was used to manage these systems. Now, if you think about security, would you want your, you know, Bob? You're not going to tell me what type of security you use to guard your house, right, Bob? You wouldn't want somebody to say, hey, I'm working for, you know, ACMAT Security or whatever you want to call yourself, and I'm using this technology to guard your home. You wouldn't be happy if you were listed as a guy who used that technology, would you?
On their website?
On their website.
I don't think so.
You know, Bob likes to use yada yada security technology, and we're happy to have Bob as a customer.
But I do have a sign in front of my house and on my windows.
That you use a tool, but you don't tell them what tool.
Well, it does say.
Well, that's not too smart. All right. Take that sign down, crazy man. So SolarWinds advertised this on their website, that their tools are used in 425 of the top Fortune 500, all 10 of the top U.S. telecommunications companies, all five branches of the military. Huh. The Pentagon, State Department, NASA, NSA, Postal Service, who cares? NOAA, Department of Justice, and the Office of the President of the United States even uses their SolarWinds tools. Of course, all five top accounting firms, hundreds of universities and colleges, and then they start listing the customers. What a great target.
They left off the sixth branch of the military.
Yes, they did. Space Force?
Space Force.
We'll get to that. But they listed on their website who their customers were. And if you're, you know, you don't really have to be the sharpest tool in the shed to go and figure out, if I'm a hacker, maybe I should go after this company because it has access to all these companies. 300,000 customers SolarWinds lists as their customers. 18,000 of them were impacted by this hack. Now, this was as of Sunday, the news was starting to come out. By Wednesday or Thursday, guess what, folks? You could still download the hacked software from SolarWinds' site. You could still download the one that was bad. You can't even make it up. They didn't remove it. Krebs on Security has a great discussion of all the information here. And we'll post these links for you so you can go check out Brian Krebs. Does a tremendous job of explaining the SolarWinds hack and what occurred. And this is one of the biggest hacks out there. But again, it's one of the examples. You know, again, if you're the company and you're leaving the bad software out there, even after we all know you have a problem, that should give you pause.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that SolarWinds was more than likely notified before it was made public.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they didn't take it down.
Oh, no, exactly. That's why, you know, I talk about being a little paranoid. I know how the sausage is made, folks. I know who these people are. I know who these IT people are. Trust me. Here's another thing that was from my favorite blog out there in the UK, the Register. The headline, we're not saying this is how SolarWinds was backdoored, but its FTP password leaked on GitHub in plain text was, wait for it, SolarWinds123. So, I mean, this is how you can update their server with a password called SolarWinds123. Nice job, SolarWinds.
Do you think that password would have passed the password strength meter?
Obviously not.
It would have been still not. In the red, I think.
Yeah, we'll put some links up here, guys, so you guys can better understand. Brian Krebs does a tremendous job really explaining this. And if you're in the security business, I mean, you know, let's just say you're doing the security for, I don't know, a bank or something like that. Are you going to put that, you've got the bank security as a client, and here's the security you use to protect that bank. Do you think the bank would be happy to know that you're marketing that? SolarWinds, man. Come on, man. That's just ridiculous. We'll put a link for you guys to look at. And, you know, this is going to be a problem for a long time. Oh, yes, companies like Microsoft were using the technology. Companies like Lockheed Martin were using this technology. You know, we're working so hard on NIST and 800-171 to protect our clients' data. And now they're being backdoored by the tools that they put on their systems. That's not good.
I wonder what's going on with SolarWinds stock price right
now. It's dropping. Magically, they happened to sell a big chunk of it before the news got out. I wonder how that happened.
Don't they have laws against that?
I think so. I mean, Martha Stewart would tell you they do. So let's go on to whatever you got for news, Bob. What do you got?
Okay, next one is, I can't make this up. I know you didn't believe it when we were talking off air.
No, I don't believe this at all, but he's not lying.
We have a new arm of the military, because yes. Now there was five, and now there's sixth.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So back in 1947... Okay, the United States Air Force was spun off, because before that, it was part of the Army. So it was called USAA instead of USAF. So it was the USAAF, I meant.
All right.
So it was the U.S. Army Air Force.
All right.
But in 1947, they passed legislation under Harry Truman to add it as a separate, distinct part of, you know,
the branch of the military.
Military.
Yeah.
So it became the United States Air Force.
I love it.
Okay. Now,
right.
The U.S. Space Force,
right.
Which on the 20th had its first year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good stuff.
And they're going to call them people who are members of the U.S. Space Force.
You're not going to believe what he's about to say.
They're going to be called Guardians. Okay. So, Vice President Mike Pence announced the U.S. Guardians of the Galaxy. So now we know U.S. Space Force members will be called Guardians going forward.
Why do they do that to themselves?
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence said Friday his announcement came during a first birthday celebration for the military branch.
Yeah.
Soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and
Guardians
will
course.
Be defending our nation for generations to come.
Oh, man.
And there's more in the article. It's very good. It's also humorous.
And it's real.
Humorous.
He's not. You're not kidding, right? You're sure this isn't fake news?
Well, you know, they kind of came under fire because of their... moniker, their logo.
Yeah, it looked like Star Trek. I know.
It still does.
We talked about it. Yeah, it still does.
So, you know, it is what it is. You know, the government has a lot of...
it's all been done before, I guess.
Well, you know what they say about the misnomer? Called, what's it when it kind of means the opposite, like military intelligence?
Yes, right. Yeah, oxymoron.
Oxymoron, that's it. Yeah, what a moron.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, boy, I'm sorry, guys. I mean, we obviously need a Space Force. We're actually seeing a lot of stuff in the news about UFOs, but let's not go there. This is not coast to coast. This is a whole different show. In other news, this shouldn't be so a surprise to you, but it seems to be. employees are 85% more likely to leak files today versus pre-COVID. So they did a study. Code 42's president and CEO did a study on this. And what's happening is not only are businesses having their employees use their own home computers that their 12-year-old was surfing on 20 minutes before he went on and looked at your insurance policy or your financial plan, but they're actually sticking data out on Dropbox and, you know, things that they might have used for their kids' soccer scores now. Maybe they're moving all your personal data as a company, as a client of whichever company you're dealing with, out to these cloudy systems. Heck, maybe they're printing on their home printers information about you as a customer. 85% more likely to leak files. And guess what? When they're using their home computers, people, they are not under any kind of security that would have been the case had they been using their business computers back in the office. You know, our clients have patrol dog technologies that we employ on their systems. So if they were in their office, they can't surf to malicious sites. Their email is scrubbed and checked. They have the proper antivirus on their system. But when they go home and they use the machine that their 12-year-old was just using for school to do work for you, all those technologies are not there. 85% more likely to leak files. Much more dangerous out there as far as hacks and issues out there by having people use their home computers.
But as far as putting them on these cloud drives like OneDrive.
I know.
You know, I mean, and Dropbox.
Right.
These are not encrypted drives.
Mm-mm.
And the biggest one that I see has got to be OneDrive because
right.
It comes in there and you almost can't get rid of it.
Right. You don't even realize
it's coming back. Every time there's an update, it comes back.
Microsoft wants you to put your data on their stuff so they eventually can charge you for it.
Yeah, well, if it's there and then the employee turns out to be, you know, let's say a malicious employee, not that it ever happens, but they could be taking a lot of stuff with you and they don't even need to carry it out on a thumb drive or a USB drive. They can just put it in the OneDrive box and, you know, hey, I
got
it.
Leave it out in the cloud.
I'm going to work for your competitor.
Yeah, our technology can actually block those things for our customers. So if you're in aerospace, we can actually block those types of drives so that you're not having somebody put, you know, the drawings for an F-35 fighter out on OneDrive or Dropbox without your company knowing it. 85% more likely to leak files today versus pre-COVID. This is not good. So let's get to your calls. You guys have been nice enough to join us this morning. We're going to go right to Gary in Cheshire first. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys. Been listening to you for a long time, and I thought it would be interesting to share some of the things you've done for us.
Oh, great.
And right now I was just thinking about the fact back in 2007, mm-hmm. My wife has family around the country, and I was looking for a way to reduce our long-distance calls.
Yeah.
And that UMA had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed up for it in January in 2008, have had no problems. I'm grandfathered for no fees or taxes. I figure I've saved about $4,000, and that's something you guys may not think about.
No,
not
we do.
Not only do you make
that's
us
great.
More secure, you save us money. I did the router modem and put open DNS, so saved that fee, reduced my internet speed, and found out that, yes, you are correct. I didn't need the speed that I had back then. It was the highest speed available.
Nice.
And, you know, YouTube, Google Fly, all these things, I've kind of followed your lead, and you guys are doing a great service. I really appreciate that you take the time on a Saturday morning to do this for us, and I just want you to remember you're helping a whole bunch of folks that might not otherwise have been helped. So just thank you very much.
It's our pleasure, and thank you for that nice call. We appreciate it. It's a great way to start the show.
Yeah. All right, and I'll be listening. And,
all right, Gary.
Keep up.
We will. Thank you, Gary. That was very nice.
And thank you, Gary. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're happy to do it. I mean, we try to eat our own cat food here, even in our daily work. We try to do the same thing. Everything we recommend, we actually use. And everything I recommend or Bob recommends, we actually use. And we're not getting paid anything for recommending it. So we're glad it's worked out. And I was just talking to my wife about Google Fi. We just recently purchased the new Pixel 5 phones. And I told her, I said, basically, these phones are free because the amount of money we saved by using Google Fi over the past 4 or 5 years was more than the cost of a new phone. So, you know, it's really a no-brainer. My monthly phone costs are $20. So thank you very much, Gary. Let's go on to Victor in West Hartford next. What's going on, Victor?
Hello.
Hi.
I used to listen to your show all the time, and you used to tell people about a free antivirus. I look back on your archives, which only go back, I think, to September, and I couldn't find it, and I couldn't remember what it was.
We don't recommend free antivirus anymore, Victor. Unfortunately, we can't trust free. You know, in the old days, the old days, we would recommend, you know, things like ABG and these companies that are out of the Czech Republic that were offering free antivirus. And it just, if you really want to secure your system, you really should pay for it. In the Microsoft Defender, which quote unquote comes with the system free, would not make any sense to me. It's like the fox guarding the hen house. So I wouldn't use their tool. I would use a different tool. And what we generally recommend is Webroot. It's what we use for our business clients. Yes, I am doing a SolarWinds and telling you that we use Webroot for antivirus for our business clients. However, there's many other layers of technologies that we use as well to protect them, not just one. But for your home use, Webroot would work well too. Don't use the free stuff. It's the reason it's free is you're the commodity.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Victor.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we're moving through the calls here. We're going to go to Sandy in West Hartford next. What's going on, Sandy?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have two quick questions. One is, I got a notice saying that flash drive should be uninstalled in my computer. I didn't even know I had it, but I guess I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question is, my router is connected to a desktop computer that really is old, and we don't really use it. We use our laptops. Now I'm thinking, but my router is hooked into that desktop. So if I don't use the desktop, what do I hook the router and modem into?
So the router and modem can stand alone.
Oh.
And you can just use, you know, the desktop doesn't have to have it. It doesn't do anything with the desktop connected.
Because it's plugged in, the router and the modem are plugged into my desktop, right?
It is, but that's not the direction that we care about. We care about going from the internet to the modem to the router, not desktop to router to modem. Maybe you're thinking of it backwards.
So I can undo the connection to the desktop, which I don't use, and just plug it into the wall.
Plug what into the wall?
The modem.
No.
No. See, not so easy, right?
Well, the modem should be plugged into the wall already with power.
Right, it is, yeah.
And then from the modem, it should go to the router, the WAN port on the router, which obviously is there.
Okay.
And then from there, you have a Cat5 drop going to your PC, correct? That little Cat5 wire into your router? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't know that's what I was saying. No, all I know is the way it's set up now, obviously, is it's directly connected into my desktop.
So if you unplug the cable that's going from the router to your desktop,
right,
it's not going to have any impact on your internet. So don't touch any of the other wires.
Right.
Okay.
Just the one that's going from the computer, which looks like a big fat phone cable.
Yes.
All right. You disconnect that from both sides, the one from the router and the one from the PC, or one of them.
Yep.
You won't affect anything else.
So your router should have either anywhere from 2 to 6 ports on the back, typically, or 5 usually, and one of them will be marked WAN, and that's the one that your internet comes in on.
Right.
And then there should be, a lot of them will have 4 additional ports or more that say LAN, and it'll kind of all be tied together, and it'll be marked 1, 2, 3, 4, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the ones that's in the LAN portion under 1, 2, 3, or 4 that you can disconnect safely.
Right. LAN stands for local area network, which is your home. WAN stands for wide area network, which is how you connect to the interwebs.
Okay. See how this is a little bit confusing. Actually, if you don't really know what you're doing.
Well, exactly. And that's why we have the SolarWind hack.
Exactly.
You've said it all in a mouthful. It is a little bit confusing.
Yeah, it is a little confusing. Okay, but I got it now. And the other reason why they want you to uninstall the flash drive reader or whatever it is, it doesn't work anymore. I don't even know what it does.
Yeah, it's been deprecated. It's one of the worst, it was one of the worst vectors for hacking people, was using flash to embed bad stuff into your computer, so they finally have deprecated it.
Okay.
It was a great tool for honest people.
Right. Yes. The bad guys also used it pretty well.
I got it. Okay, well, thank you guys for everything you do. I agree with Gary, the previous caller.
Thank you.
Really, you're amazing.
Well, it's our pleasure to do it, and we appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys, we're going to step out for a quick break. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And if you follow us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems, it might get into your news feed if Zuckerberg deems it worthy. Let's go right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this very cold Saturday morning. Going to Frank in Portland. What's going on, Frank?
Good morning. First of all, thank you very much for your show.
Our pleasure.
And what I'm calling about is I have a Windows 8.1 that I'm working on. And the other day I browsed to a big box store, found an item, put it in the shopping cart, went to purchase it, and then there was a spot to click on about if you choose not to have your information shared. I clicked on that and then asked if I was a California resident, and I clicked no. At that point, the screen zoomed to about a 500%, zoomed in about 500%, which was useless. So
yeah.
I brought it back to 90%. And when I did that, a window popped up, and it looked like it was flashing through places I had previously browsed. And these different sites kept popping up. And also, every once in a while, the on-screen keyboard would pop up, and it sounded like somebody was typing on it.
What?
That went for a few seconds, and then it stopped at a Vanguard site, the home page. And then it looked like it went through a few pages in the Vanguard, came up with some kind of a form to fill out. And at that point, I went into the task manager to see if I could see anything there.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything unusual, although there's a lot of stuff there I don't really recognize.
Right.
At that point, I shut the PC down and restarted it. Mm-hmm. I have WebRoot, so I did a scan. It found nothing.
Right.
I downloaded Malwarebytes and did a scan, and it found nothing.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I went back and I did a restore, and the restore didn't complete. Said might be a conflict with antivirus. So I took the Malwarebytes off, did another restore to an earlier point.
Yeah.
That worked. I rebooted the machine. And everything seemed to be working okay, and it sat there for about 5 minutes. And then on the right-hand side of the screen, what looked like translucent bubbles start flowing from the bottom to the top of the screen, and then that on-screen keyboard popped up again. I canceled out of the on-screen keyboard, and ever since then, everything seems to be working okay. But I don't trust that the PC doesn't have some malware on it, and just wondering what else I can do to ensure that the PC is clean.
Yeah, so I agree with you. Something funky's going on. The translucent bubbles, believe it or not, are just a screensaver. Those are not unusual. You can choose that. I mean, I've seen it on other computers, right, Bob?
Yeah, generally after a certain number, a certain period of time, it just puts that up to save your screen. That means you haven't been active for maybe a few minutes.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen that, though, on this machine before.
No, I think the hackers like the bubbles. No, I'm just kidding. So clearly something's going on with your system. Are you running OpenDNS?
Yes.
Okay. So, again, anything is not 100%. So that reaction after you clicked on that basket and tried to do your thing could have been some sort of injected code. There's tons of issues with websites that have been hijacked by these purchasing apps that kind of get in between you and the big box or whatever store you're trying to buy from, and they try to take that over. So you may want to reach out to the store you were trying to purchase from.
Okay.
And tell them what happened.
So how old is your PC?
7 years old.
Yeah,
and you're running 8.1.
Yes.
That is older.
Which is no longer supported. So
that is true, but he's still got good security. I think something did happen, Frank. I just couldn't tell you what, because everything you've described does sound kind of fishy.
Now, I had clicked on a different site earlier. It was one of those, you know, searching for a product, and sometimes what will happen when you do that is it shows, like, pictures across the screen, and it'll give you, like, different places to go. I clicked on one of those. I don't know what that was. I think that was, I was looking for a certain kind of batteries, and it was, like, maybe batteries direct or something like that.
Yeah.
Is it possible that something came from there and it just happened to show up when I was in the big box store? Or
oh, sure.
Is it probably when I clicked on that?
Do you have a Vanguard account?
I do, but I've never logged onto it through this machine. This is a general browsing machine. I've looked at some information, general information on Vanguard, so I have browsed there, but I've never logged on through there, through this PC.
And to answer your question, that's why we recommend OpenDNS to try to make sure you're going to surf safely. But again, they're not, nothing's 100%. And when you do click on pictures and things that just show up based on browsing, you have no idea. Kind of think about it. Where have they been? You want to almost surf with a point of view that wherever you're going is icky, period. Just assume it's all icky, right? If you assume it's all icky, you're going to have less, you're less apt to just click away. And you really want to focus your searches within legitimate sites. Don't just assume wherever, whatever is being displayed to you. I mean, heck, it's Google. We're finding out they're pretty icky as well. And you don't just assume whatever they're delivering to you is safe. They may not realize it's not safe, obviously, and they're just using algorithms to show you this stuff. So I would say it could have, you could have something that occurred at any time. I would maybe tell you to uninstall your browser completely. Malwarebytes has got nothing, but it doesn't mean you don't have a browser hijack of some kind. There's a lot of browser helper objects that have been found to be malicious, too, that could be on your is it Chrome or Firefox that you're using?
Firefox.
Yeah. So there could be a browser helper object there that is malicious that you loaded without even realizing it when you clicked on something within your surfing. But I do think there is something funky going on there that I would still tell you that you should be careful. You know, you've done everything. You went back to a prior time when you did your restore. I would completely uninstall Firefox. Maybe just use Chrome for a while, or use a different browser if you want to be more secure. Like, doesn't DuckDuckGo have its own browser? No, it doesn't have its own browser.
No, it's a search engine.
It's its own search engine, yeah. But try a different browser, I think. But something definitely, I think, messed around with your system a bit. But I couldn't tell you what, because the tools you used said nothing.
Okay.
And I couldn't give you a better tool to check.
Now, since this hasn't happened again, I'm still thinking there's something on, and I could go to another browser, and that malware could still be lying in wait somewhere or doing something.
Only if it's if it's a browser helper of some kind within Firefox, no, because it wouldn't be on the Chrome browser. So that's why I'm saying try to use a different browser just to see if you get a nice stable experience.
Okay. I was concerned I might have to do like a wipe and reload, and since this machine is so old, that would probably take forever, correct?
It's all relative in geek terms. Forever. How long is forever when it comes to playing with your computer, really? You know, we love it so much. No, I couldn't. I don't think you should spend too much time on that, to that level, wipe and reloading. But I do think something happened, and I can't tell you what, and I don't have another tool you can try. Unless, Bob, you have another tool you could try?
No.
Those are the tools.
My recommendation at this point would be, if I'm suspicious, is a wipe and reload.
So he's going all the way.
Yeah, if you get a rootkit, you know, there's the only way to get rid of a rootkit is wipe and reload.
If it's there. Okay. Malwarebytes should see it, though. So it's hard for me to say for sure because both of your tools said nothing.
Okay. If it was something that was serious enough to do a wipe and reload, I do data backups, but is there any other kind of backup on like an image copy or something that I could do so I wouldn't have to go like all the way back to the original?
Well, see, here's the problem. If the image you back up has the actual rootkit, you're just going to put it right back on.
Right, but I mean, for instance, when this happened, like if I had, because you could do like more multiples of those, right? Those types of.
Yes, you can go for. You can do an image that you have an image of your system today, an image of your system tomorrow, and the next day. The problem is you don't have an image of your system before it was compromised.
No, I mean if I had been doing that.
Yes, then you could go back to a time before it was compromised. But when was it compromised? You don't know exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
But you have the right tools in place, so I'm thinking it's not as bad as it sounded.
Okay.
And just trying a different browser and seeing how that goes might be okay. You have the other technologies in place. It's not like you're going to go ahead and load credentials on this thing. You're not using it for banking, it sounded like. You're not using it for important things. You're just buying stuff with it. If somebody compromises your credit card, who cares? Right? And then that's protectable. If they compromise your debit card, which you shouldn't be using online anyways, then that's on you. But credit card purchases, you're not responsible for anything that somebody else does.
So the image copy sort of thing, you would not recommend doing that, or you would recommend doing that? Like
if you were clean.
Assuming I have other machines that are clean.
Right.
What product would you...
Acronis is a popular one for home use. That offers a image-based approach. And, of course, every technology we use for our business clients is all image-based.
Okay.
So we do the same thing.
And that's just the software itself on the machine, not the data?
No, it'll be the whole image of the system. It'll be everything.
Okay.
As it looks, it's going to be, Frank's computer as of the day it does it. And then that way you can take that image and plop it on a different disparate piece of hardware, which is kind of nice. So you can do that. But you just don't know when it was bad, your problem occurred.
Right, but I'm just thinking going forward in other machines just to have that kind of a historical backup to be able to fall back to something.
Yep. That makes sense.
One other quick question, hopefully?
I got to take a break. If you want to hold, you can.
Sure.
All right, we'll put you back on hold. Joe will do that back in the studio, and we'll get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. All the lines are jammed up. You guys are joining us early this morning, which is great. Let's go right back to Frank in Portland. You still there, Frank?
Yes. The other question I had is about my router. I have a Netgear R7000. It's about a year old.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it set up to do the automatic updates to the software.
Yep.
But it looks like that software really hasn't changed in the time that I've had it there. And I was wondering, I think there are newer updates to that software. Should I try to do a manual update, or if it ain't,
you can.
Don't fix it? Or?
Well, no, you can. You want to always be up to date on your firewall's iOS, because that's, again, a vector that the bad guys use to try to get into our systems.
Okay.
So I'm surprised it's not updating automatically. So you can do a check to see if the firmware is not up to date. And if it isn't, yes, do an update. It's worth it. And the other thing, too, I wanted to bring up, Mike G had a note here that you can also try a product called Hitman Pro to see if there's anything on that browser. I trust anything Mike G recommends as a thought. He's the guy that posted the stuff on our site for us. And I've never used that tool, but if he says it's worth checking out, he'll put a link up there on computertalkwithtab.com.
Okay.
And it might be something worth running to see if you've got any kind of keyloggers or Trojans or anything on there that it detects.
I will do that.
Very good. All right, Frank.
You're kind of fading here.
All right, you all set?
Yeah, I am. Thank you again very much. Appreciate your show.
Our pleasure. Good luck.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's move on to, who do we got next? Is it Seth in Bloomfield? What's going on, Seth?
Good morning, guys. Happy holidays.
You too.
Listen, I got two quick questions, maybe three quick questions for you.
All right.
I'm looking for a laptop, and I'm wondering, am I going to see a difference in price between an i3 and an i5?
Yes.
Yeah?
You better.
Okay.
i3 is barely a laptop.
Web browsing and banking and things like that.
I wouldn't do both on the same computer, but if you had to...
No. I got you on that.
i5 would be the minimum. i3 is barely a laptop.
I got you. Okay, next question. You guys have talked me into a Proton Mail over the weeks.
How'd you like it?
And I'm looking at, they're all got this Christmas, offerings for Christmas and stuff. Is there any value to buying into it? They have a plus program for $4 a month. Is there any value to that, or should I just stay with the free stuff? Because free
only
is always
good. Yeah, free is always good. Only if the additional is the offerings are there for you that you want. I'd have to go review again the offering to see what the difference was. But if you're happy,
really
with
the difference, is it says custom filters, autoresponder. Mm-hmm. Those are the two big differences. I don't even know what catch-all email is. so that's not even included in that. But it's $4 a month.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of debating on whether it's worth it or not, or like I said, free is always good.
Free is good. However, so I'm looking at it. So your storage for your free is only 500 megabytes. With the next level up, it's 5 gigs. You get 150 messages per day on free. You get 1,000 on plus. If you're getting 1,000 email messages, God bless you.
Not even close, no.
Yeah.
But the folders is nice. I'm limited on only 3 folders with the free one, and I have a lot more than 3 folders that I use.
Email filters are good. So right now you don't get any email filtering on the free one. Now, email filters are going to allow to block spam, block malware, block malicious site, malicious email. I would tell you that's always worth it, having email filters in place to protect you. So it would be worth it there. An autoresponder, I would have to see what that means. I would think it has to do with an out-of-office style ability to configure your email to respond when you're not going to read your mail, which for most personal messages is not really worth it. Okay. But the email filters might be.
If I'm going to buy a new laptop and I'm going to use it exclusively for banking, would Proton Mail be my best bet to keep on that computer to use for that use?
Oh, yeah. Proton is a very, very secure messaging system.
Okay.
So
okay.
It would work.
Next question. A Ryzen processor versus an Intel processor.
Yeah. AMD versus Intel. Well, so it's not fair for a comparison for us. Like I mentioned last week, we're an Intel Gold provider here at TAB. My experience in my entire 31-year career of computers so far has pretty much been Intel. So I can't give you any real feedback on any experiences with AMD. But they are tremendous processors. I mean, it's great to have competition. So I would look at third-party comparisons, and I think we put a link up last week.
Okay.
That for you to take a look at. I would stick with Intel. In all of my years, I think we've had 2 processors have an issue, and that's over being a gold provider for years and years and years. That's a lot of processors we go through.
It's the same thing like having a car. I was a Toyota guy for years and years, and I switched to the Subaru, you know?
Yeah, Subaru is great.
It's sort of kind of like the same thing.
I agree. You stick with what you know, and I really couldn't speak to the other one because I haven't driven an AMD.
And then the last question, what were you mentioning about Google Phone? I was listening bits and pieces of it, and I didn't get it all.
So Google has a product called Google Fi.
Google Fi?
Yep, Google Fi. And so basically you can get an unlocked phone, or many of the phones that are out there will support Google Fi, where you can actually pay for the data you use. So most quote-unquote unlimited cell phone plans are hoping you just crank up the data, right? They just have you keep your spigot running on your phone. Facebook's updating while you're driving. You don't care, but you have it running. And these cell phone companies are charging you $45-$50 a month for these quote-unquote unlimited data plans. Well, if you just turned on your data saver and stopped your apps from updating constantly while you weren't looking at them anyways, so that they would only update while you were in a Wi-Fi bubble. Because guess what? We're almost always in a Wi-Fi bubble. You don't need it to update via cellular. You will drastically reduce your cost of cell, which is what I found with Google Fi. My cell bill is $21 a month on average, $21. I'm a geek. Now, I'm not like my kids who, you know, will be out there trying to surf while they're, you know, mobile, but it's pretty rare even for my kids. So they're all on Google Fi and they pay the same $20. They pay their bill themselves.
And where is this data saver?
On most phones, you configure your phone to turn on data saving by default, and then you can go to each app in most phones and turn off background data. Background data is like turning that off is like jiggling the handle on a toilet that's running, right? You stop that data from flowing out of your phone, cranking up your bill. And that's why you think you need it.
How to get to that on my phone.
Right. Would you have an Android or an Apple?
Android.
Yeah. It's right in the top. You drag down the top little bar there. What version of Android is it?
I have no idea.
That's okay. You drag down your thumb, you're going to see like the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, the flashlight.
Uh-huh.
And if you slide it to the right, you should see Data Saver as an option. And you just click it on, and it'll definitely slow your data usage.
Okay. Very good.
All right, sir.
I appreciate it. Have a good holiday, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock today. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about is posted live by Mike G. Over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems, it'll get into your newsfeed. Hey, don't forget the podcasts. If you guys like the show and you just kind of miss it during this actual time frame, you can podcast Computer Talk with Tab. and you can subscribe to it, and it'll show up on your phone. You can listen to us anytime, day or night, whenever you want, over at radio.com. It's pretty cool. And most third-party podcast providers will offer you the ability to subscribe. We'll be right back.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.